Welcome to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, March 13th, 2016. The Reverend Ron McHattie is preaching. The sermon for today is Finding Strength and Peace in Troubling Times, Coming to Terms with Opportunity. The Old Testament reading is Psalm chapter 42, and the New Testament reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10.
So our theme verse as we've gone through this series has been from Psalm 46, 1 through 2. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. And that's a great anthem. You told me you were going to end with that anthem. That's a great anthem. Thank you, choir. That was wonderful. And I don't know if you noticed it or not, but our opening hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, up in the top it says that Martin Luther based that on Psalm 46. So, trying to tie it all together, different references as we go through this. This morning I'm going to ask you to once again take out your sermon notes, because I'm going to use, I think it'll be easier this morning to follow along than for using the PowerPoint. As we walk through this morning's message, as we bring this message to a close. I jotted down in your sermon notes another way of looking at this series. You know, in the beginning, I talked about overcoming our anxiety, and we talked about putting our trust in the Lord. And then the next message was on coming to terms with reality. And we just talked about the fact of the matter that we live in a fallen world. And as a result of it, whether we're a believer or a non-believer, we are going to know difficult times. And the Lord never once says that he's going to deliver us from that. What he promises is that he's going to be with us and walk through them with us. And that's the reason for us talking about finding strength and peace in troubled times. Not avoiding troubled times, but how do we find and really come to terms with God's non-anxious presence being a very present reality in our lives during those difficult times in our lives. Third message was on coming to terms with mortality and just facing the fact that every one of us in this room is going to have that day. And we are going to have friends and loved ones in our lives that are going to die. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But knowing God's non-anxious presence is found in having an agenda and having a perspective upon life that goes beyond this life into the life to come. And once we begin viewing the present in the context of eternity, then we stand a fighting chance of knowing peace and strength in the Lord and knowing his non-anxious presence. As long as we're earthly focused, then this is all we have to hold on to. And so life can get very anxious at times and very trying at times. But if we know that we live, as Paul said last week in Philippians 3:20, that we live as citizens of heaven, then in a very real sense, as the old spiritual said, we are just passing through. It's not an effort to make light of the present or in any way say it's less significant than it is, but it's to put it in its proper context. It is temporal. It is temporary. There's more to come. And are we positioning ourselves for knowing that more to come? Because in positioning ourselves properly through Jesus Christ, then comes the ability to know God's peace and strength during those difficult times in our lives. So I rephrased that those three emphases in this series because you know, sometimes one way of saying something clicks with one person, it doesn't. So maybe this will click for you. Finding strength and peace in troubled times depends upon your source of trust, depends upon your worldly focus, depends upon your divine perspective. Now, when we're talking about that bigger picture out there, we're beginning to address that question, could there be a greater purpose? And that's where I want to kind of stretch you this morning as we bring this series to a close. Can those difficult times serve a greater purpose than any of us perceive from the perspective of God? 2 Peter says this, 3:9. The Lord is not slow about his promises, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. The reason why I want you to be mindful of that passage is, it's not that God isn't mindful of our current circumstances, but I think that we have to come to terms with the reality that God is in the process of saving and redeeming his creation, not necessarily making life pleasant for us. Okay? So, the word indicates to us that we're going to have to walk through some difficult times. And we're going to have to do that because God is in the business of trying to bring to himself as many as possible. As many as possible. Sometimes when someone says to me, I just wish the Lord would hurry up and come again. And depending on how well I know them or where I think they might be in their current walk, I'll say, your heart isn't as big for the loss as God's is. Because when the last person who's going to respond to him responds, then he'll be here. But, you know, don't push the agenda. Don't push the agenda. So how do we approach life in the midst of this? I gave you two examples this morning. In the Old Testament lesson, I gave you the example of a warrior king, David. And even though Carol only read one chapter from Psalms chapter 42, the context is really two chapters, 42 and 43. But that was an awful lot to ask her to read. And many feel that when they were dividing the scriptures up into chapters and verses so that we could find references quicker, someone made a mistake here and combined two psalms, separated one psalm into two. Because there's this one verse in 5:11 and then again in the next psalm that's the same. It's a common thread going through it. Why are you cast down, all my soul? Why are you so discouraged within me? Hope in God, because one day again I'm going to praise him. So, this psalm is written in a situation. There's two or three different scenarios that people paint that when David could have possibly been writing this psalm. But David is not in a good situation. Most feel that he possibly is on the battlefield again. One scenario is he wakes up in the morning and walks outside of his tent only to see the enemy all the way around in the hills. And bummer of a day. and he knows that he has a rough one ahead of him. But David has been through a lot of really tough days. He's known a lot of ups and downs. I think that's one of the reasons why people oftentimes find the Psalms so reassuring in some kind of strange ways, because you not only see David make the comment about how he desires to lift up his praise to the Lord and share with the next generation how God has continually delivered him in situations or walked through difficult situations with him, you also can pick up Psalms and you can hear David, if I were to pray like David prays in the Psalms, some of you, maybe many of you, would reprimand me afterwards and tell me, don't you realize you were in a house of worship? I mean, David lets God know when he's not happy. And he lets loose, you know. Very much like the Christ on the cross. Why have you deserted me? You know, why am I out here all on my own? So David gives us this picture of the person who's really wrestling sometimes when life just is not going right. And yet he's discovered this stableness, this presence of God that in spite of all the difficulties continues to be faithful to such an extent that he says, you know, I know that even in the midst of this, there is a day coming when I'll once again be able to rejoice and give thanks and to praise. So David comes at it from the perspective of a warrior and a king. Now Paul, in 2 Corinthians, comes from it from the perspective of an evangelist and theologian. And this passage is pretty hard to understand, and we won't go into it in the very beginning. It's kind of like, well, if you go to Peter, I can't remember if it's in 1 Peter or 2 Peter. I love this comment. Peter says to the people he's writing to, you know, sometimes our brother Paul is pretty hard to understand. And you begin reading this text and you kind of go, oh, this guy is as disoriented as Pastor Ron is sometimes. I mean, what is going on with this guy? I mean, is he ever going to get to the point in all of this, you know? And so this is a difficult passage, but in the midst of it, coming at it from a different kind of perspective, here we hear Paul go, you know, there was this one thing in my life, and three times I said to the Lord, remove this, please remove this. And what does God say? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because my grace is sufficient for you. I'll get you through it. I'll get you through it. Exactly what Paul doesn't want to hear. And if you want to know some of the stuff that Paul's gone through, the second letter to Corinthians is a wonderful letter to read, because there's three or four times as you read through that letter where when you read through it, you wonder how Paul even lived through some of the experiences. I mean, this guy really went through it. And yet, towards the close of the letter, he says, you know what I've learned in it? God's grace is sufficient. Now, the reason why both of these guys could make statements like this, I believe, is because they had a good grasp that there was more, especially Paul. And so they saw the earthly traumas that they were enduring in the context of eternity. And that changed everything. That changed everything. I want you to think for a moment, if you're like me, who are some of the people that have had the greatest impact on your life? Especially believers, or let's say people of faith. If you're like me, the ones that have left the deepest impressions are the ones who have scars that they've have been inflicted upon them in the course of their lives. The reason why they have left such a huge impression on my life is because when I look at them, I say, that's a real person. And when they share a word, not a preachy word, but when they share a word about God being them, being there for them, you can tell that there's a lot of depth behind those words. And they're sharing with me substance, not stuff. If there's anything I absolutely drives me crazy, is when someone says to you, how are you doing? And it's not one of the better times, or you've been through a real difficult time, or they know that you're in a difficult time, and they're just kind of checking in with you, and you share something with them. And then comes one of those flippant, it's truthful, but the manner in which it's said, God always works everything together for good. Or just trust in the Lord. Or it's just kind of the manner in which they say the truth, where if you're like me, I just want to clock them. Yeah? Because what's being communicated back to me is not a word of encouragement. It's like, you have no clue what I'm talking about. Have you ever spent a night weeping? I mean, have you ever spent a time when you said, okay, God, I'm feeling really alone here. Come on through on your word. I understand you're not going to change everything, make it great, but I need to know your presence better. I hate those throwaway comments where I just kind of feel like this person is not for real. When that person, though, on the other end says, they don't come back at me. They just say something like, anything you'd like to pray about right now? That perks me up a little bit more. You know, it's not a throwaway. They're coming in. They're coming alongside of me. They may even say, if I'm kind of stunned, they don't immediately start to tell me about a story like that. They wait for me to ask, have you ever been through an experience like this before, anything like it? They don't come back and they say, well, I know exactly how you feel. You know, we can go through similar experiences, but we all have different feelings how we approach it. There's just a realness and a sincerity of the person right there that says to me, okay, this person is not Pollyanna. This person's not in denial. I can trust this person. They are aware of that non-anxious presence of God that walks with you through the difficult times. As I've grown and I trust mature in my faith, it's changed how I do pastoral work. I had someone, I don't know how many people might comment at this service, first service, I made this comment, and they said, amen, that's exactly what happens. But if I were to come and visit you in the hospital room, and I came in, and I kind of take a peek, and if you look rough around the edges, I'll probably walk in the room and I'll say to you, I sure hope you feel better than you look. And you know what happens? I get a truthful conversation. I stopped a long time ago saying, how you doing today? Because what I found out is that person would lie to me to make me think that they're doing better than they are. And that's not the reason why I'm there. But when they share the truth, they'll go into my history of disappointments or whatever, I can say, Well, you know, let's lift that up to the Lord. Let's pray about that. I pray for strength and for peace for them in the midst of that. Had a great experience with Heather. The first time she was in the hospital that I was aware of while I was here. And I came around, tucked my head around, looked at her, and I said, "I'm Pastor Ron." She says, "I know who you are." She had kind of a crassness in her voice because she felt terrible. You know. And I said, "Is this a good day or a bad day?" "It's a bad day. You want me to stay or leave?" "Leave." "Okay, I'll see you later." That's great. Went back 2 days later, came in, I said, "Is this a better day?" "Much better day. Can I stay?" "Yes." "Could I leave?" "No." But are you getting the gist of it? And the reason why I'm saying that is because people out there are watching you. This is how we become part of the picture. In the same way that God has used other people in our lives who have gone through it, and we have found them to be responsible, reliable people of faith in whom we can lean, and as we lean, get reassured of God's non-anxious presence in our life, we can become those same kind of people for others. But the only way you can become that kind of a person is what? To not have God deliver you from all the difficulties of life, but for God to walk with you through those difficulties so that you for yourself can begin to discover that God is that strength and peace, that non-anxious presence available to you in the tough times of life. So Paul writes this terribly wonderful passage in Romans 5, 1 through 5, and it's written out for you in your sermon notes. But look at how this goes, and I'm not going to go into it in detail, or we'll be here all forever. But it's all in the context of eternity. Since you're justified by faith, in other words, since the future's secure, now we can talk about how you walk through the present. In such a manner that in verse 3, Paul says, "And we can rejoice in our sufferings." Ugh. Why? Because suffering produces perseverance. And this isn't a perseverance of just putting up with stuff. This is a perseverance that is beginning to come, that is built upon knowing that God is the rock that will not be moved. And what does it then say? Endurance produces character. The word for character is a word used for the refining of metal through fire, of purifying it and making it strong. How does it get there? It goes through fire. That's what we talked about. The people of character that most often really strike hold of us are not people who have known a life with no pain and no disappointments in their life. They're people who have gone sometimes through hell. And they've come out the other side and they become better, not bitter. And their faith is something to behold. And you know what? I know that there's a lot of them out here in this audience. We're not talking about waving your flag and running around, but developing that strength of character for in each one of us. Why? Because it produces hope. We become people of hope. That hope, again, is established in God. And people are watching. You may not be aware of it. People are watching. They are looking for people that they can possibly nudge up alongside of. Sometimes just put out your antennas and be mindful of people that are coming into your life. There may be someone there who's afraid to ask you, but the bottom line is the reason why they're trying to draw closer is because they're beginning to gain an understanding that you're a person who's acquainted with difficult times, and they really like what they see in you, and they want to know more. Peter says, always be ready to share the hope that is yours in Christ Jesus. Who are those people? I don't know who they are, but they may be coming along. That's the reason why I chose this particular picture for this particular sermon. I love this picture of this lighthouse with the light shining bright and the waves just pounding against it, because others out there, just as we are, we're mindful of people who stand like that lighthouse. And eventually, those are the people we want to know, because we feel like that's the person in whom can mentor us and help us grow in our faith. And as we begin to take all of this to heart, we're in the process of becoming those lighthouses. Jesus says, you're the light of the world. Okay? Don't hide it. Doesn't say to boast about it. But understand that one of the things that's happening in the big picture as we go through the difficulties in life is that we are becoming those lights of hope that Jesus was talking about. So Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:3-4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all consolation, who consoles us in our affliction. Listen to the next part. Consoles us in our afflictions. Why? So that we may be able to console those who are in any affliction with the consolation with which we ourselves are consoled by God. In other words, the only way we literally learn how to be a consoling presence in the life of other people is if we go through the need of being consoled ourselves. Wow. Sometimes I wonder how Richmond First in particular even put up with me as a young pastor. Lots of energy, and I brought a lot to the table. I was so naive. I was such an idiot. I'm still an idiot, but now I know what I don't know. And I do know how much I'm dependent upon God and God's grace. And the greatest thing that I have to give to anyone is just that message. I may not be able to solve a problem, but I can pray with someone about its solution in Jesus Christ. Let's pray that God will make known his strength and his peace, his non-anxious presence to you. C.S. Lewis put it this way upon the death of his wife. And you may say, gosh, this seems pretty traumatic. But C.S. Lewis, probably one of the greatest apologists of all time, brilliant theologian, spent almost his entire life as a non-believer, as a very prestigious professor at Cambridge and at Oxford. I don't know if he still considered this or not. At one time, was considered the leading expert in medieval literature. He marries very late in life. I think it's within 5 years, his wife dies from cancer. Just rips him apart. he describes her death as this: I was walking down the path to my house, and I saw Jesus in the doorway, and as I got up to the doorway, God slammed the door in my face, and as I stood there, I heard a voice on the other side say, Lewis, you don't understand. You don't understand. Pretty harsh. Later, he writes, what I discovered was not how strong my faith was, but how strong the God in whom I put my faith was. That's the hope. People aren't looking for you to be this gigantic source of strength in their life. But they're looking for people who appear to be strong, and in the process of the conversation discover that the strength isn't in them, the strength is in the God in whom they have placed their faith. And that's the light we have to offer. So it's not like we go into this going, oh boy, another tragedy in my life. Wow, God's really making me into a phenomenal saint. Someday, maybe even the Pope will acknowledge that. I mean, no, that's, you know, it's not that kind of artificial rejoicing in our suffering, but it's the realization that when those difficult times come, God may actually be doing more in us than what we understand. God is enabling us to possibly become a phenomenal tool in the life of others. It's said that when some of us get to heaven, that we won't be surprised by the people who are there that we didn't think would be there. What will be our greatest surprise will be all the people who are there that are shocked that God is letting us in. Come on. What I'm hoping for each and every one of us is that we will grow as a result of discovering God's reliable, non-anxious presence in our life to the extent that the greatest surprise that'll be ours when we get to heaven will be those individuals who address us that we didn't even know we had an impact on, who were the people who were always watching, were watching us when the waves looked like that, and they'll thank us, each one of us, for being the rock. They were tuning in off of us, and we weren't even aware of it. That's the surprise I hope for each and every one of us, that we will begin to discover the immense impact our lives had on others because we discovered for ourselves the non-anxious presence of God through Jesus Christ and His Spirit within our lives. Let's pray. Lord, there's not any of us who want to pray for trouble. And there's not any of us who anticipate it. But Lord, help us in those moments to realize that much more can be going on than what we think. Help us to be on a continual adventure of discovering the dependability of your non-anxious presence within our lives through Jesus the Christ, in whom we are able to find strength and peace. And may we discover it in such a fashion that our lives will be genuine before others, and a means whereby you might be able to touch the lives of others and bring them to a saving awareness of who you are. And we give you great thanks for this. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing our
closing
hymn.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California. Or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.